You'll hear an interview with a writer called Barry Pagham, who writes crime novels. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. In the exam, you have 70 seconds to look at part three.
My guest today is the crime writer Barry Pagham. Barry, you've written a number of best-selling crime novels, but you wrote other things before that, didn't you?
Yes, my first published novel was a spy thriller. I really wanted to write, and crime would have been my first choice, but it wasn't such a respected genre back then. I read a newspaper article that said there was a shortage of classy spy thrillers and thought I could write one. To my great amazement, it was published, but of course it flopped completely. So I wrote a second one, which also made little or no impact. The upside was that I'd established that I was able to write, which would stand me in good stead later. I've now bought back the rights, though, so I can keep those titles out of print. They're really not up to much.
So your first big break came with the rather spooky novel Transgression.
Yeah, that one veered on crime in that someone actually committed one, but it wasn't a crime novel as such, more a horror story, really. I wrote it as a kind of one-off book, but then my publisher said to me, you know, we can build your name up if we pigeonhole you as horror. And at that time, horror was in the ascendant. I was grateful to have a publisher who was enthusiastic and went along with the idea. It was a false trail, though, because five books later, the genre had gone into decline and crime was starting to become fashionable again, and I was in the wrong pigeonhole.
So what did you do?
I asked my publishers to reposition me as a crime thriller writer, but they were resistant to the idea. Although they said they wanted crime, they actually kept marketing my horror tag. I got very fed up with them. I was halfway through a two-year publishing contract, so I was tied. It was my agent who eventually talked me into biting the bullet and just writing a crime novel. It was a chancy thing to do and very, very traumatic because I could easily have ended up without a publisher. Luckily, they liked the novel once they'd seen it, and the rest is history. With the benefit of hindsight, it was my best decision ever, but it was touch and go at the time.
And your crime novels are now very successful, and you seem to know quite a lot about police work. How's that?
When I'm researching one, I spend 2 days a month with the local city police, on patrol, at crime scenes, or in their offices, and I've had some hairy experiences being in the line of fire. Like, recently there was a guy 5 times wanted for armed robbery who was holed up in a local flat. When I arrived, there was a whole bunch of police, plain clothes, dog handlers, guys with armoured vests. I knew one of them, and he said, "Stay clear of the door in case he shoots." That really brought it home to me that this was the real thing. Incredibly, they rang the doorbell and said, "Mr. X, are you in?" Silence. So they smashed the door off its hinges, and there he was behind it. They threw him to the ground and handcuffed him.
Do you use those experiences in your writing? Because the novels are set in the city, aren't they?
Yes, very much so. A big part of what I'm doing in my books is building a reality, and every book pulls in the background of the city and the world of the police there. The sense of place in a crime novel is as crucial as the characters themselves. I'm published in 28 languages, and each country seems to love the setting. It's kind of bizarre. I get letters from all over the world from readers wanting to come and see the city, and I guess I can see why. I think it's because although the city has a veneer of elegance and sophistication, you don't have to scratch very hard to discover its seamy side below the surface.
So would you make a good detective, Barry?
I do think perhaps if I was 28 years old again, then maybe. Whereas at the time, I'd never even considered the police. I'd have more of an open mind now. Perhaps with training I'd have found the courage to jump out of a car and apprehend a mean-looking suspect or go off chasing someone on my own at night. I think one thing that would drive me nuts is the bureaucracy. If you arrest somebody, you end up signing your name 37 times. But I guess I'd get used to it. What I do admire about the police in this city, and I've got friendly with them at all levels, is that they're incredibly good and committed people.
Now play the recording again. That is the end of part three. Now turn to part four.